الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس وأجود الناس وأشجع الناس وما ضرب عليه الصلاة والسلام شيئا قط بيده ولا امرأة ولا خادما إلا يجاهد في سبيل الله ولم يكن عليه الصلاة والسلام فاحشا ولا متفحشا ولا سخابا في الأسواق ولا يجدي بسيئة سيئة ولكن يعفو ويصفح وكان عليه الصلاة والسلام يعود المريض ويتبع الجنازة ويجيب دعوة المملوك وكان عليه الصلاة والسلام يخسف نعله ويخيط صوبه ويعمل في بيته ويفلي ثوبه ويحلب شاته ويخدم نفسه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام طويل الصمت وقال أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال هل خدمت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين فما قال لي أف ولا لما صنعت ولا ألا صنعت وقيل يا رسول الله سأدعو على المشركين قال إني لم أبعث لعانا وإنما بعثت رحمة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أشد حياء في الأمير الإزراء في خدرها فإذا رأى شيئا يكره عرفناه في وجهه وتمامه في الحديث صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. My dear brothers and sisters, when a person become Muslim, then he has to follow shu'ub of deen, different chapters of deen. And these are 5. Number 1, he should have correct aqeed. And what is aqeedah? It is the belief to say by tongue and believe in heart that it is correct. Secondly, he should perform ibadat according to what has been told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third, he should correct his muamilat, it means dealings with other people. Fourth, he should have good muasharat, it means to fulfill the rights of other people in the society, and he should have good akhlaq, it means good character. Nowadays the position is this, that some people are thinking that if we are having correct aqeedah, that is enough. It is just a start, it's not enough. It is necessary but not sufficient. If a person have any wrong aqeedah, whatever he does in amal, that is not accepted. Of course, it is right. But if he has good aqeedah and he does not offer prayer or does not pay zakat or does not perform hajj or does not keep fast, so he is able to bear the consequences, the punishments which are because of these. So everyone has to perform ibadat as per rule. But even then it is not sufficient, because the people may be earning because of this, because of ibadat, but may be losing because of mamilat, because of dealing with other people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has once asked, who is the poor person? Sahaba said, those who do not have money. Rasulullah said, that person is the real poor, who will bring mountains hold. It means hasanat, good actions. But because of rights of other people, he will have to give these good deeds to them according to their rights. So their, his good deeds will finish because of these, and even then their rights will not finish. So then he will have to bear their bad deeds, and because of their bad deeds he will go to Jahannam. So that person is a real poor person. So it means we have to have good dealings with other people. Thirdly, we should have good maasharat, which means in society as we are living, so there are rights upon each other. The right of a person is duty of another person. So if a person does not perform his duty right, it means he is not paying rights to the dead person. So then he will have to face consequences in akhirah. And even then, if his character is not good, and what's character? It means the relationship with the other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, fear from Allah, sincerity, and it means being down to earth, and patience, and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These all are good akhlaq. So he has to achieve it. So this thing should be understood. So in these few ahadith sharifa and one verse of Holy Quran, it has been described. So first of all, I will have to translate it, and then after that, inshallah, we may discuss it. Allah says, "Verily, indeed, you, O Muhammad, are upon you the most noble character." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standard for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the uswa of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lifestyle of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do have a good sample, example. So we have to follow it. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing, so there are some hadith sharifa, and I think I should first of all quote them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best, the most generous, and the bravest of all people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever lifted his hands to hand out beating upon anything, not to a woman nor a slave, except when he fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays the situation is this, that we don't bother whatever may be the consequences, but if we are losing temper, so we can do anything to the ladies, to the children, to the elders, whatever the case may be. So one has to control himself if he is in this condition. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit the sick, attend the funeral of the deceased, and even accepted the invitation of slaves. You see, it's a very good thing if a person is sick and somebody just want to visit him only to upper and his morale, uprise his morale. This is very good. And do pray for him. So by this, he can easily bear that problem. And the attending the funeral is actually the right of the deceased person. That if he dies, then Muslim should attend his funeral. Because it is a dua for him, it is a praying for him. And as he was accepting the invitation of slaves even, it means he was not, you can say, proud person. He was down to earth, and even he was accepting the invitation of a slave. Nowadays, if a person is invited by a poor person, he thinks, oh, I have good food at my house, why should I go to that place? But this is not the case. He should understand his love for him. And because of that, he should attend this. He should accept the invitation. He used to mend his own sandals, sew his own clothes. He used to do his own domestic work, clean his clothing, milk his goats, and attendant to his personal needs. Nowadays, a person is in somewhat reasoning, having a post, so then he does not perform his work even. Once there were some people sitting, among them there was also a major. So his mobile has fallen. He did not take it by himself. His, you can say, attendant was sitting at a distance. He called him and called him and asked him to take that mobile and put it. And then he took it. So see this wretched situation. That was very near to him. He could do this himself. But no, how he would have proved his officerness, that he is officer. But you see, Rasulullah was the best among the people and at a very high position at that time. But he was doing all these himself. It was the habit to remain silent for long periods of time, to listen the people. It's a very good thing, because then he understands what the other person is feeling. After, inshallah, azan. So I was saying that it is a very good habit to keep silent and to understand the other's opinions. And Rasulullah was doing so, so it is sunnah for us. And it's very good for us this way also, that it covers our shortcomings. It means if we are saying something, we may explore, we may expose ourselves, our shortcomings as well. So if a person is silent, so he covers his shortcomings. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, I sought Rasulullah for 20 years. During this period, he never used to say, oof, by way of expressing disgust or rebuke, and never did he ever ask me, why did you do that or why did you not do that? Which means he was kind to his servants and not cruel to them. He was performing tarbiyat of them, but not punishing them. So this is actually the difference. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told, O Messenger of Allah, curse the polytheist. He replied, I have not been sent to curse. I have only been sent to mercy to all. Of course, this is a very great job, because if a person is teased by some other person, so he can do, if he can do any work against him, he does it. And if he cannot do anything, so then he curses him. This is actually the people are doing nowadays, but this is not right. Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is this, not to curse the people, but to be kind to them and loving to them. By this way, they can bring them also to this path on which he is. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more modest than a virgin in her private secluded space. When he was displeased with anything, we would pursue it from the expression of his face. More detail of his character are found in books of hadith. So it means he was having haya. And haya, it has been told that it is half of the iman. And there is one saying in Arabic, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِي اِفْعَلْ مَا شَيْتَ. If you don't have haya, then do whatever you want to do. It's also in Persian, the haya bash har chafai ko. So actually, the same thing. Because haya is controlling all the bad things. If that control is switched off, then everything will come out of his mouth, of his expression, of his thinking, of his action. So then he can do everything. For example, if he want to abuse the people, he can. If he want to torture the people, he can. If he want to tease the people, he can. So whatever he may want, the bad thing he can do if he does not have an haya. So Rasulullah was having this the best. So we should also get this haya, and we should see, we should learn from this. Another thing I would want to discuss, nowadays something has entered in our life, and that is mobile. We do have mobile, so there is a very deep communication gap between the family members. Once I was in Germany, so there I bought second-hand household things. So in that, there was also a television. I don't can say television. So therefore, I told my wife that I am going to break it. So she said, don't break it, but give it to some other one. I said, I cannot give it to a Muslim person, but okay, I shall give it to a Christian. So there was one of my colleagues in university, Kilian. So I had visited to his house. So I told him, I want to give you a gift. But I'm telling you why I'm giving to you. Because we Muslim, we don't watch it. So I want to give it to you. He said, you have been to my house. Have you seen television there? I said, no, but I was sitting only in one room. So maybe in the other rooms it was available. You say, no, no, we don't have any television. And we did have. But after some time, we observed that there is some gap, communication gap between our family members. So we wanted to remove this. So we discussed it, what's the reason behind. So we found that the reason behind is this television. Because every person is coming and sit and watch television, and there is no connection between the family members.
Nowadays, provide their environment.
Very well, yes. So see the situation. He said, if we decided to get this out of our home, our house, so we got it out. So why are you bringing it again? I said, Mr. Kilia, I am very pleased because of your opinion. If you would get it, I would not be that much pleased. And I shall tell our Muslim brothers in Pakistan this story. So I'm telling it to you. So it means this television is recreating communication gap. And this computer is even stronger than that internet. So that's bringing more communication gap. And this mobile is even stronger than the computer. So it has created tough communication gap. And now the situation is this, that husband and wife, they are both are using mobile, and they don't speak with each other. And even they don't speak with the children. And children are facing this problem. And they are going to depression because of this. So they are using these things. And one, and the other thing, that if the children are crying, they give mobile to them. You see, it makes addiction. And that addiction, doctors say, it's stronger than the addiction of heroin. Dopamine level goes very higher because of this. So for example, if the dopamine level because of mobile is 200, and because of relationship with other people, just mean the house, and with the other activities, it's run in the range of 100. So how you will come to 100, leaving 200? So it means he's getting bored with these things, other things, and he's busy with the mobile. I once visited the wedding ceremony of a daughter of a friend, and there were hi-fi society. So we were sitting and we saw that people are sitting nearby and they are watching mobile and don't talk with each other. The whole session, I said, we still see the situation. So this is creating a very, very high level of, and doctor says that this addiction of mobile, it cannot be recovered easily. It may take 3 to 4 weeks continuous not watching mobile, not touching mobile. Then you can come to that level. And after that, if you use this 2-3 days, it will again come to that. So it means we should play something for this. So I suggest that we should learn how to perform zikr continuously. And first of all, we should calculate how much we are using mobile in a day. So if, for example, we are using for 6 hours, so we should be able to do 6 hours zikr. And then, inshallah al-aziz, it will become our habit, and then we can be able. Because this zikr is bringing satisfaction to the heart. And that mobile is also bringing some type of satisfaction to the people because of it is addiction, being addiction. So this may kill this addiction. And this inshallah al-aziz, with the passage of time, inshallah we shall get very, very good habit of doing zikr. In those timings in which we were playing with the Mawahid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to perform this. وَمَا أَلِنَا الْبَلَاغُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.